Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
Have you noticed that times are changing? Well, believe it or not, the Bible has a lot to say about changing times. Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we have an all-new series entitled Times Are Changing. We're going to discover what the Bible has to say about what's happening in our world today. Stay with us. When it comes to predicting the future, the Bible is 100% accurate. Friend, let that sink in for a moment. 100% accurate. It's never been wrong. It never will be wrong because it's the Word of God. And when it comes to today's headlines and the economic and political unfoldings of our day, the Bible is 100% accurate as to the meaning and the direction of these events. It's amazing that God, thousands of years ago, gave us an unfolding description of what's happening before our very eyes on the world scene. Times are changing. That's the topic of this series. It's an all-new series preached recently at Lancaster Baptist Church with Dr. Paul Chappell. Pastor Chappell is the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and the president and founder of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. And this program comes to you every Monday through Friday on this station. And we look forward to this series, Times Are Changing. If you'd like to subscribe to the daily podcast, you can take Daily in the Word with you and listen to it on your computer or iPod. You can also subscribe to a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell. All of this and much more when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today we turn to Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39 as we study terror and the war on Israel. Here's Paul Chappell.
And the news was reporting a few weeks ago that from Israel, the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu mysteriously took a plane and went to Russia. He quickly and stealthily went to Russia for some negotiations that greatly concerned Israel. And at the bottom part of that quote, you can read, "The Haaretz Daily said Netanyahu discussed Russian arms deals with Iran and Syria, and that Israel presented evidence that Russian arms were making their way to Iranian-backed Hezbollah guerrillas in Lebanon." In another report, the paper said the talks were also focused on sophisticated anti-aircraft missiles that Russia has agreed to sell Iran. The delivery of the S-300 missiles would make it much more difficult for Israel to carry out an attack on Iran. Now, all of that simply to show you that Russia is emerging back. Some would say the Cold War is over, but Russia is lusting for power and dominance in the world once again, and many of their allies are these countries like Iran and other countries who have a hatred for Israel, and many of them for America. And so we see these words listed in verses 2 and 6. Let's move along, secondly, and notice in verse number 5 some of the other countries that will be involved in the invasion. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Now, Persia is modern-day Iran. 35 times in the Old Testament, we read about Persia. In 1932, they changed their name from Persia to Iran. Ezekiel speaks about this, Ezekiel 38 and verse 4, "And I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws and bring thee forth," verse 5, "Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them." And so we see the emergence of some prophetic alliances. We see that emergence in the day in which we currently live, especially with Russia and Iran being foremost in this prophecy. And we see how the military aggression will take place through this coalition. Now let's quickly look at some of these nations. First, we see Persia. Iran is a theocratic republic under the rule of the Ayatollah Khomeini. In 2005, President Ahmadinejad spoke at something called the Conference on the World Without Zionism, and he said, Israel must be wiped off the map. By the way, with statements like that, do we understand why Israel's concerned about a nuclear Iran? I think we understand that. This is something that's very concerning to many in the world today. It's concerning not only because of Iran's direct statements and threats against Israel, but because they train the Hamas terrorists and they control Hezbollah, located in Lebanon to the north of Israel. Look at the quote in your notes. The commander who withheld his name, this is from Aaron Klein, since he was a target of Israeli forces, told the Sunday Times that Hamas had been sending fighters to Iran for training in field tactics and weapons technology. He said some Hamas members traveled to Syria for more basic training. Military officials said they were surprised by the scale of the Hezbollah bunkers, in which Israeli troops reportedly found war rooms stocked with advanced eavesdropping and surveillance equipment, much of it labeled, what do those three words say? Made in Iran. And I just simply share that with you so that you can see the relationship, modern day relationship, building and strengthening between Magog and Persia, Russia and Iran. In March 2008, the Hezbollah chief Hassan Nasrallah said, "The presence of Israel is but temporary and cannot go in the region. We will see you killed in the fields. We will kill you in the cities. We will fight you like we have never seen before." All of that combined with the fact that Iran is very nearly now a nuclear power militarily puts Persia clearly in the sight scripturally for us to view and to realize the Bible's prophecy is coming to pass. The next country that's mentioned in verse 5 is Ethiopia, an African nation in the central eastern portion of Africa. They supported Iraq in the Gulf War. They very much have anti-Semitism in their land today. The next country is Libya, enemies of Israel in the Western world. And in 2008, Libyan President Muammar Gaddafi met with Putin, the Russian president of late, and they agreed that the United Nations needs to be reformed in order to face the imbalance of forces internationally. Libya is mentioned in the Bible as being a part of the coalition that will come against Israel. Notice the next word there, not only Libya, but in verse number 6, you see the word Gomer. Gomer, many Bible scholars believe, is Germany. Some liken this to Turkey as well. But again, a northern power that would come down upon Israel. Dr. Jeremiah summarizes this well, and I give you his quote. "Thus we find that Ezekiel's ancient prophecy, written some 2,600 years ago, informs us as to what is going on in the world today right before our eyes. There is the declaration of a battle. There will be powers from the south, the north, the east, and the west coming against Israel at a time when they just weren't expecting it." Now let's notice, secondly, the motivation for this battle. Why would this battle take place in the first place? Now, as we look at verse 4, I want you to see the wording. "And I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth and all thine army." Now, as we study this second half here, notice that God is sovereign and that God is allowing these events for his purposes with Israel. And much of Bible prophecy relates to God and his wanting Israel to turn their attention back to him. Ezekiel 38:4 again, "I will put hooks into thy jaws." Now the question this morning, what are the hooks that would bring Russia, that would bring Iran and these other countries into this kind of a war with Israel? Just a couple of things very quickly. First, there is a lust for power, a lust for power. I heard of a little boy in Sunday school not long ago who said that the Bible began with Genesis and it ended with revolution. Now, he was somewhat close, but the fact of the matter is there will be a lot of revolution and war during the tribulation period. And Russia is going to be at the center of this particular war. Ezekiel 38:10, "Thus saith the Lord, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought." In other words, there will be an evil scheme or evil thought on the hearts of those who come against Israel. In February 3rd, 2007, the New York Times reported Vladimir Putin saying, We are driving to create a fairer world based on principles of equality. Time has shown our views find support in Arab and other Muslim states. And so with this lust for power, Putin and the other leaders in Russia who are really bringing back a Cold War era mentality in the way Russia is run today, and many freedoms are beginning to be suppressed as the military might expands. They're finding many alliances in the Muslim world to help them balance the powers against America and in order that they might have their way in this region. There will be a great lust for power. Secondly, I believe there will be a desire for resources. Ezekiel 38 and verse 12 speaks of it this way, to take a spoil and to take a prey. Verse 13, art thou come to take a spoil, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take away great spoil? Now, some of this would revolve around the land. No doubt, there are many that want that land back. This may be the prime motivation for the Muslim countries involved. Since the secretive meetings in 1993, the Oslo Accords, which took place under President Clinton and which were in many ways supervised by the current chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel. Since that time, the big message from the West and the European Union has been land for peace, land for peace. And that lust for land will certainly be a part of the desire that brings people into Israel at this time. An interesting quote gives us a thought or an insight, if you will, into the Muslim mind. Notice the quote here from Rosenberg. If you ever visit Saddam Hussein's main palace in Baghdad, be sure to visit Saddam's throne room and look up. For there you will see a large dorm, a dome. Painted on this dome are images of the dome of the Rock of the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Besides these are paintings of horses attacking Jerusalem. Painted on the walls are Scud missiles pointed at Jerusalem, and at the center of it all is an image of Saddam himself riding a white horse into the holy city. Now, most of you are aware that Saddam will not be riding that horse into the holy city anytime soon. But the fact of the matter is, that mural gives you some insight into the mindset of many in the world towards Israel today. Many want that land, and they want it now. And then I believe there will be some desire for the natural resources of Israel. There was in the New York Times a mention of the fact that there has been oil discovered in Israel. How great that reserve will be, how much of a factor that will become, we do not know. We do know that Israel's gross domestic product is twice that of any of the Arab nations around them. We do know that their agriculture is developing. We know that their tech sector is developing. And so there will be hooks in the jaws of Russia and Iran, bringing them in against Israel for the battle of Gog and Magog. We see the declaration of the battle given by God to Ezekiel. We see some of the motivations, hatred, power, and land. But notice thirdly, if you will, the exaltation of the Lord. Now I want you to take note of the fact that through all of these events, the purpose is that God would be glorified in the eyes of his people, the children of Israel. Now make no mistake about it, the odds are definitely stacked against Israel. Just think about what we've said this morning. Russia, Iran, the European Union, I read in the Jerusalem Post recently, was stated, the way the EU will relate to an Israeli government that is not for a two-state solution will be very different. And so the EU is putting pressure on Israel. Rahm Emanuel, the chief of staff of our current president, in Newsweek magazine, we read about him. The Hebrew-speaking Emmanuel, as much as anyone on the American side, will know if the Israeli prime minister is bluffing about his red line on Iran. Next paragraph. But some in the Jewish community have been disappointed, even his own rabbi, towards the end of the paragraph. Instead, what we've seen is more of the tough ram, not the warm ram. Emmanuel begins his meetings with Jewish leaders with a warning. If anything leaks, he says, according to several participants in such gatherings, neither he nor anyone else in the White House will ever speak to the leaders again. And so you have a stronger and more difficult position being taken on the part of those in our government currently towards Israel. Morton Klein, president of the Zionist Organization of America, said, quote, Hillary Clinton has become an outspoken supporter of the Palestinian state and has made an anti-Israel switch as of late. And then the speech in the United Nations by our president when he said, In declaring that it was time for Middle East peace without preconditions, President Obama used his speech at the UN General Assembly Wednesday to fire a warning at Israel that America does not accept the legitimacy of continued Israeli settlements. Next paragraph down. But it was the use of the UN forum to carry the settlement message to Israel that drew the most enthusiastic response on the floor and incredulous reaction outside its walls. Obama just put Israel on the chopping block, said former U.S. ambassador to the UN, John Bolton. By the way, based on Genesis chapter 12, we better pray that America stays a strong ally of Israel. And we better pray that that was a momentary move of some form politically and not a complete change in direction of our country towards Israel. Even liberal churches who do not know the veracity or believe in the inspiration of the scriptures have jumped on this bandwagon. And members of the United Church in Canada discussed a motion recently to study economic boycotts against Israel. I'm just simply saying there is great momentum building in the world against Israel. I believe you'll see it rise between now and the time the Lord takes us home via the rapture, and especially between the time of the battle that we're studying this morning. But God, in the midst of all of that, is going to rise above and he will be exalted. How's that going to happen? Let me share with you quickly as we close. First, God will bring victory for Israel in this coming battle of Gog and Magog. He will be glorified in the eyes of the Israelis. How's he going to do it? Number one, the Bible says he's going to shake the land, Ezekiel 38, and the Bible speaks of this in verse number 19. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel. Now, folks, there may be those with nukes, there may be those with other great weapons and aircraft, but no one is a match against God Almighty in time of battle. And God says, when it comes to protecting his people, he has a few things in his arsenal. And the first one would be earthquakes. And the second one, he says, I'm going to confuse the armies. Ezekiel 38, 21. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. There is going to come a type of pandemonium in the communication between these armies as they come against Israel, that they will begin to be so confused and there will be fear and panic come across them to the point that they will cross over and harm each other in their attempt to harm Israel. Thirdly, God says he's going to bring sickness into the land. Ezekiel 38, 22. And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many that are with him, and overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Now let me tell you, it doesn't matter how great of a pilot someone is, if they are vomiting and if they are sick with disease at that time, they're going to be unable to operate their equipment. God's going to pull out some old weapons from his arsenal, some that people like to laugh at today, called fire and brimstone. I'm just simply saying, when God wants to win a victory, he's got a lot of ways to win that victory. Notice number four, he says, I'm going to destroy those armies that come against Israel. Ezekiel 39, 2. I will turn thee back and leave but a sixth part of thee. In other words, the vast majority of these armies coming against Israel will be destroyed. Verse 4, I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort. And as you read down to verse number 12, you'll find that there will be so much carnage, there will be so much death, that it will take 7 months to finish all the burying and all the funerals and all of the ending of this war. It will take 7 months to complete. And so here in Ezekiel, there's a chilling picture of the horrendous deaths that will take place against those armies that come against God's people. God will bring victory. Secondly, God will exalt his name. Someone sometimes would wonder, what's the purpose of all these battles? Why the battles and the fightings? Well, one of the main reasons for this battle is so that Israel once again will have an awareness of God in their midst. Most of the 7 million people that live in Israel today are secularists. Many, many of them are agnostics. And the nation as a whole still does not turn to God in the general sense, and not at all to the Lord Jesus Christ as Messiah. But look at what's going to happen in Ezekiel 38, 23. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel 39:21. And I will set my glory among the heathen. Verse 22. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day forward. Now we're going to learn in a few weeks when we study the tribulation period that there will be 144,000 Jewish evangelists during that portion of the tribulation called the Great Tribulation. I'm sorry to tell the Jehovah's Witnesses, but the 144,000 are male Jews. And so they got mixed up on that one just a little bit. And when you study the Bible, it really clarifies some things. There will be 144 male evangelists, though, who will preach. And many will turn to Christ as their Savior and Messiah during the tribulation. And I believe it very well could be this battle, when all of these nations come against Israel, and suddenly and miraculously they're repelled away, it could awaken the nation of Israel, the people of God. The seed then could be sown into fallow ground, and it may be that God will use this to bring many of those people back to repentance and salvation. And so God will bring victory, and God's name will be exalted. Now, what we have studied this morning is the culmination of the final days for this axis of evil, as some have called it, this hatred for Israel. And the culmination and destruction of these empires is going to be amazing and devastating according to the Word of God. Now, the fact of the matter is, my friend, as we close this morning, none of us have to be on this planet when this war or when the judgments that are spoken of in Revelation will take place. God has simply said in His Word that He wants every one of us to have a blessed hope. And that blessed hope is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of us can look for that 1 Thessalonians 4 that we studied last week, when the trump of God will sound and the dead in Christ will rise and we will join them in the air. We don't have to be on this planet during this time of battle. I close with John 14 and verse 1 as Jesus comforted His disciples with these words. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go, and I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except by me. My friend, I wonder this morning, are you ready to see the Father? Have you come by way of the cross of Jesus Christ to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Many have hardened hearts today, and many are going to experience this terrible time of tribulation. Many will be left behind when Jesus calls His children home. Will you be left behind, or will you be with the Lord Jesus Christ? I pray today that you'll put your faith in His shed blood for your sin, and that you will believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. If you do not understand, after a few weeks of reading these prophecies, that the globalization and the global economy is leading to a global governance and leading to a time which is spoken of in the Word of God, then you're missing the point. The point simply stated, now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and know that you are saved and ready to see Him face to face.
Do you know for sure that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? My friend, you don't need to take a Bible college class to settle that issue. If you believe that you are a sinner separated from God because of sin, and if you believe that Jesus died on the cross and shed His blood to forgive you of that sin, then even right now you could pray and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you, to come into your life and save you from your sin, and give you a home in heaven for all of eternity. You could make that call to Jesus Christ right now by prayer and be saved through faith.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Paul Chapel. This program comes to you every Monday through Friday, and you can find out more information about our program, our ministry, our daily devotional, and the daily podcast when you visit us at dailyintheword.org. Again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you would take time to contact us during the month of January, we would like to give you a gift, our way of saying thank you for listening, but also thank you for letting us know that our program is touching your life. This is a small book written by Pastor Chapel entitled All Things Through Christ, the 10 most important words in the life of a believer. I can do all things through Christ. What a great truth. This little booklet will encourage you. It will challenge you in your life to live your life fully dependent upon the power and the presence of Christ in each and every circumstance. It's our gift to you this month when you call or write to us, and we're easy to contact, toll free. That number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. You can also visit us online at dailyintheword.org and click on the email link. Let us know that our program is touching your life and how this ministry has impacted you. If you'd like to send a letter via mail, you can address your letter to Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, that's Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. Until next time, have a great day.